Lord Jesus, I pray now that you are the living word. Lord, you've given us your word, which is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. May it come now, Lord, and perform what you sent it out to perform, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I was thinking of that verse in Philippians. It's got it over on the wall in there about doing all things through Christ who strengthens me, or in Christ who strengthens me, and how Paul said he knows how to get along with prosperity in times of need, both in going hungry, right, and having been filled. And part of learning about that is just walking in situations. Chapter 12 is really good of 2 Corinthians. But if you ever go back and read 2 Corinthians 11, and you kind of see what he had been through to be able to have these open revelations that he had, and learning about in his weaknesses Christ is made perfect, you know. I was just thinking about what he said about being a servant of Christ. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 and a night I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from such external things, there's a daily pressure of being concerned for all the churches. So, who is weak without my being weak, or who's led into sin without my intense concern? And then he goes right into chapter 12 about, then my weakness, his strength is made perfect, right? Those are the places where we learn that we can do all things through Christ, right? That's not just a verse when we play sports that we can, you know, I can go kick a football, I can do all things through Christ, is this. You know, when the times I've been in just, you know, it doesn't look like it. Times of prosperity, that's like, man, I'm just being blessed. But what about times when you're in need and you're weak and you've been beaten or mistreated? You know, we don't have to go through that, thank God, here. But anyway, I was just thinking about that. Being Christ, I can do all things through Christ, really means that, you know. So I'm not saying that you would pray this other stuff so you can learn that. However, that's where you learn it, that you can do all things through Christ. I was thinking of, I was in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, actually, earlier today, just asking the Lord to give me just a deeper revelation of the weapons of our warfare. And I say this all the time, you say this in our Bible study all the time, that you can't fight a spiritual battle in the flesh. You can't fight a spiritual battle with natural things, right? These are familiar verses. For though we walk in the flesh, that means walking in our humanity, we do not war according to the flesh, or we don't war with our humanity, our mind, emotions, or will. We don't war that way. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, they're not of our humanity, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses or households of thoughts. That word strongholds, that word means a stronghold of thinking, the enemy does. We are destroying, overthrowing, taking down, that word means, speculations. We don't use that word a lot, but a speculation is reasoning, arguments, right? Argumental thinking. How many of you ever get caught up in argumental thinking in your mind and reasoning, trying to battle something, thinking that you can out-reason it, right? Or out-think it, or think it away, or that's a setup, okay? That's what the enemy tries to drag you into. Remember this, the enemy's main goal is to cloak himself in his attack against you, so you won't see where it's coming from. Scripture talks about he shoots in darkness, he hides himself, he tries to stay hidden. It's not a big deal to him whether you believe in him or not. Matter of fact, it's a bigger deal to him that you don't believe in him, and that you get caught up in trying to fight a spiritual battle with your flesh, with your humanity, with your thinking, right? Reasoning. It never works. You wear yourself out, right? If you haven't seen that, you will. It'll be very real. And every lofty thing, which means just a, like a barrier, a big wall, raised up against the true knowledge of God. And here's how we do it. We're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, every purpose, the mind, heart, soul, and will, that word literally means all of my humanity, I'm taking it captive to the obedience of Christ, meaning to His obedience, to the obedience that Jesus did. He obeyed, and He went to the cross for you, for us. We know that. But that's what we do. We take every thought captive to the victory of the obedience of Christ because He already did it. Okay? That's how I begin to war. And within my mind, when they're sent to me, I just send it to the cross. I just send that thought straight to Jesus. I don't try to reason with me, you know. I don't care what it is. You know, it can be anything. It could be even, you know, about Jesus, who He is. Or it could be about the Bible. Oh, you don't really believe that. Oh, yes, I do. It's the Word, you know. It's the Word of God. And, you know, blah, and you go on starting to use arguments, right? Like apologetics. He loves that. It doesn't work. You send it to the obedience of Christ, to the victory on the cross. Every thought. It says take every thought captive, every single one, right? So we need to ask the Lord to reveal to us. And this is the really cool one, this next verse. And this is, I knew He was going to show me something I'd never seen before. And it's verse 6. And it never really, to me, fit the way it's written. It says, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. And I thought, what does that mean, we're ready to punish all disobedience? Like, we're ready to punish all the disobedient. If you've been disobedient, you're going to get it, right? But that word disobedience, is this is words only used twice. And it means imperfect hearing. And he says that we're ready to punish. That means to avenge. That the Lord is going to avenge all of our mishearing. All of the lies that we came into union with. God is going to punish that. He's going to avenge you on your behalf and bring bring down the hammer on the enemy where it belongs, not on you. Every thought, every one that we've given into, every disobedient thought, every mishearing that we've come into union and said yes to, God is going to avenge that for you, right? Sometimes we take these thoughts captive. So I think that's really cool, because what that means is He's going to reveal by the Spirit every place in us, every place in you, every place in me, where I'm mishearing. And y'all, everybody mishears. Nobody hears God perfectly, right? If you think you hear God perfectly, that's the first thing you need to take captive, because you don't. We need each other. And there's always this growing of hearing the Lord kind of tuning in like a radio, like the radios used to be, with a lot of static, and you just kind of tune into that one. You know, it's just this constant twisting the knob in our spirits to tune in to Him. But the good thing is, the good news is, the good news of God in Christ is the victory that we have is that He's going to bring vengeance on the enemy on your behalf because of all the lies He's told you, and we believed them, okay? But He'll avenge it. And that's what Paul's saying, is He's going to flip them and show every one of them to you so that you can now have right thinking and you'll learn how to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ, to His victory, okay? Because He's already won it. That's what that means. So I hope that helped a little bit. That helped make that verse a little clearer, you know, about the punishing all disobedience. That means avenging the misthinking for on your behalf. Like restoring the years the locusts have eaten, the whole thing that's a part of who God is. Restoring your all through the Old Testament, even through the book of Joel. We've been studying through that. There's always this principle throughout the Old Testament, which always points to the cross, of God restoring all your fortunes. Right? Everything that's been taken will be avenged. Amen?